Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber. Got some chop to futures this morning amid those new China tensions, the U.S. telling China to close its consulate in Houston. Got results from United, Snap, Texan, of course, Tesla, Microsoft tonight. Some Pfizer news, and then oil's below 42 on this API inventory build, Jim, along with the president's comment yesterday that COVID is likely to get worse before it gets better.
There's so much confusion right now. We've got a Pfizer news, which is actually quite bullish because the company's going forward and will actually be able to produce a vaccine if it works en masse. That would be amazing. We have the president saying, look, I think masks are now patriotic. That was really positive. But then we have him saying that things are going to get worse. I think that's counterintuitive. If you use masks, they can't get worse, but you have to be universal. And then if we have that bridge, stimulus, mask, Pfizer vaccine, then we're going to understand why the stock market didn't go down during this period.
The Pfizer news you mentioned is that the U.S. government engaging to produce 100 million doses and up to 600 million doses, Jim, starting with the 100, and that would be available to the public at no cost, although the government would write a check for about $2 billion.
Well, look, Carl, when this happens, typically what we get is all the COVID-19 stocks get hammered. The NASDAQ gets hammered. All the companies like an Amazon that would no longer be able to have the way of the world because we have a vaccine. We have the stimulus, which they might do well, but then we have the vaccine where they don't do well. Those stocks go down, and what goes up or what went up yesterday, the industrials. David, there never seems enough money to be able to go into the two-thirds of the S&P that is not doing well. And there always seems to be enough money to go into Apple, to go into Amazon, to go into Alphabet, to go into Facebook. And, of course, tonight's Microsoft.
Right. Tonight is Microsoft, also Tesla. You know, listen, we've said it many times. It's not a stock market anymore. It's a market of stocks, and it's a handful of stocks that we're really talking about. Yesterday, Jim, we did see a little bit of weakness in some of the names you just mentioned. But overall, that has been the story of this market. Many of the sectors down 10, as much as 20%. But the biggest name, the mega cap names, have performed extraordinarily well, leading the average higher for the year. The S&P up 0.82%. But of course, it's the NASDAQ that really is just incredible, up 19% this year. Guys, certainly talking about vaccines is important. We do it, and I assume we will be doing it, hopefully, a lot of mornings to come, not just what we're seeing in early results, but the DOD stepping in. They may do that for some of the antivirals that are also making their way through phase two and potentially phase three trials as well. But I've got to mention China this morning as well, because, Jim, you know, the tensions just are going straight up, kind of like Tesla's stock price. The Houston consulate now going to be closed, the burned documents there. You know, they're basically the charges are sort of these broad charges of spying, let's call it. I don't know. This is not going anywhere good. Every day seems to get a bit more concerning.
Oh, look, totally, David. What I find is that you'll get your get some footing in the stock market. And it's almost as if, OK, let's use that footing to be able to trash the Chinese. But the Chinese are doing things that, I mean, China, I think we all agree, has been spying. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. The British just cut out Huawei. But what worries me, David, is that we're about to go into Apple's earnings. OK. And I don't think the president has a view either way on Apple, but Apple needs China. And I think that Starbucks needs China, Nike needs China, you know, all the usual suspects need China, with the exception of Facebook and Alphabet, although Alphabet was attacked by Attorney General Barr for their work in China, which was ill-advised. And I just feel like that we're going into the week that we don't need this stuff if we're stock market guys. But if we're cold warriors, fire away.
Yeah. And again, I do come back to as well the teenage girls. Because TikTok, if that gets caught here, and every day they seem to up the tension there as well, they try to close that down. That's going to be really interesting to watch, Carl. I also mentioned it, kiddingly, teenage girls, but one of the largest media companies at this point in the world, valued perhaps as much as $150 billion if they manage to stay open in the United States of America.
Yeah, it's amazing, Jim. Yeah, to David's point, the things that have happened in the past couple of weeks, which are easy to forget, because the news cycle happens so fast, but Hong Kong losing its special status through that EO, visa restrictions from Pompeo, who had comments yesterday in the UK, now the consulate, and again, China with comments that they will make countermeasures. And the question is, to what degree does that target American business?
They still have the ability. Obviously, they have a lot of flexibility to be able to hurt us. They've been so subtle about what they're buying, what they're not buying. They don't have as upper hand as they indicate, because a lot of the companies that are Dow gainers don't do a lot of business there. What are they going to do? They're going to slap a tax on Apple. They could do that. That could hurt the stock market. But I think that what we really have to be focused on is there's a cloud software IPO today, JAMF. Let's see how that does. But next week, we got a deal called Lufax, L-U-F-A-X. It's a Chinese IPO. That could be a total flashpoint. Let's say that the administration's watching the show and they hear about Lufax. Someone makes another call. Next thing you know, it's like Lufax may be delayed. That would be the real shot against the bow if the Chinese were not able to come into our markets and just say, hey, you know what? We're raising more money. We're some software as a service company or some software, some cloud-based company. And then the next thing you know, David, Peter Navarro says, you know what? I don't know about that. That would be
Jim,
suboptimal.
Yeah, you've been echoing Navarro's sentiments for some time there in terms of talking about this.
Well, how
Jim,
about he's echoing mine? Why do you think I'm echoing his?
That's a good point.
I've had my position
I know who's got more brain power. There's no doubt in my mind about it.
Wow, that was nice.
I'm all in your camp. Don't you worry.
Thank you, Carl. Did you hear that? Because I've been working with him for a decade, and that's the first acknowledgement
that
I know more than
it's
somebody.
Really nice
happens to
hear.
Be Navarro.
I trust you more than Peter Navarro. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I have more.
Do I have more standing in accusing
Fauci of something than Navarro?
Jim, you have more standing in every single way than he does. Okay,
that's not
every
fair.
Single
that's
possible
not
way
fair.
I could imagine.
You read Death by China,
but let me go
it
back.
It reads like Tolstoy.
No. Oh, please. Let me go back to your point, though, because you've made it many times, which is barring Chinese companies from being able to raise capital in the United States. That would be a dramatic action. That would raise tensions even up to a very high extent. And that might actually reverberate in the stock market in a way that none of these other geopolitical moves seem to.
I agree with that. I think that that's the one that says, all right, our doors closed, like we closed the door to the Soviet Union. I mean, other than Arm & Hammer going over there in the 20s to try to get the new economic policy out of Lenin, we basically stopped commerce. And this would be incredible to stop commerce by shutting down that IPO. And I have to tell you, I'm not advocating to shut down the IPO, but I do believe that they will say something. I mean, I believe there'll be an IPO tweet where Navarro will be on the tape and we will worry. And that will cause on July 27th the market to go down, which is the date that I'm using to say that this short-term rally might be over. Thank you to Larry Williams for giving me that one. He's a known chartist, David.
July 27th.
Yeah, July 27th peak. There you go.
That's at
2:59 p.m.
That's interesting.
I've been using Larry Williams as the dean of technical. Everyone, you know, he's just a guy who's been around forever. The percentage R. Williams. He's a great technician, and he has called this rally nonstop. And he says, "Be careful, July 27th." So who am I to not say that all hell could break? No. That July 27th could be a down day. Could be the start of. A little bit. We're getting over.
I mean, we'll talk to Art Cashin later on this morning, who's been looking at seasonality toward the end of July. Generally not good. I noticed today Nat Alliance, Jim, says corporate selling, insider selling to buying 5-1 is the highest that we've seen. Only two times this decade has that ratio been that high.
How much of that is Moderna?
they gave you a good tell back in March. The insider buyers called that right.
That's just it's a bad stat. I mean, what can I say? We got some bad stats. We got after July, the market's weak. We've got the possibility of a shot across the bow by shutting down a Chinese IPO. And we've got, you know, this is in the pipe. So I'm, you know, just call me a little more circumspect. I told the guys from my who run the charitable trust with me, let's find something to sell. I want something sold today. There you go. David.
Hmm. All right. Something.
Something.
That's very specific.
Well,
yeah. What's the symbol for something? Does that have a symbol?
Well, I don't know.
S-M-T-H?
What is that spec?
What do you go with?
Yeah. What's the Ackman spec?
Yeah.
A-C-K-M.
Isn't it nice? No, it's very, yeah. It's
what is it?
Tontine. I like Tontine.
Pontine?
That's what's, yes. That's
I
what,
had some
yes,
Pontine
yes.
right before Le Bernardin closed.
Pontine.
I had it.
Oh, Le Bernardin.
It was something, Eric Repair makes a Pontine like you never had before.
But yeah, the Ackman spec is going to be interesting to watch. We heard, of course, Mr. Ackman talking about it on Squawk Box, a long-ranging interview focused on that in part, and then his general views about the stock market. Remember, this one's at $20 a unit. Typical SPAC is at $10. There's a lot of things that are different about this, but the main thing is it's the biggest of all time, $4 billion. So we'll see how it goes. He's and then another billion or so coming from Pershing as well. So putting them in a position to do what would be one of the largest SPAC deals of all time, particularly if they just if a large company, they're sort of looking for a mature unicorn, guys, is what they talk about. He mentioned Airbnb. I mentioned it a few weeks ago when we were talking about this. But here's Ackman explaining sort of their approach.
That's why having a cash shell where someone can instantaneously raise $5 billion and be in an offensive position in accelerating the growth of their business or deleveraging their company is a really good opportunity. It's that uncertainty that creates the opportunity for what we're calling Pershing Square Tontine Holdings.
There it is, Tontine Holdings. You know, Jim, I don't know, because it does require you to want to partner with Bill Ackman.
Right.
The last company I remember him partnering with in a significant way, of course, was Valeant when he partnered with them in their hostile bid for Allergan. That didn't end up going
too
well.
He did Burger King?
Yes, no,
well,
he did. In terms of SPACs or in terms of, yes, absolutely.
Let's be
that
more
was a good
objective,
investment.
David, like me.
Okay, I'm still waiting for something.
See, Carl, I'm Jimmy Chill. I immediately point out Burger King to when he points out Valiant. You know, it's not like the old days, Carl. Just not that guy.
You've been pretty resolute in your chill, Jim. It's been months now.
It is not easy. I have people. I mean, Kramer and Portnoy. I mean, you know, I've been saying I haven't blocked Portnoy. Portnoy's, he was up 10,000 yesterday, 20,000, 30? He was up 30, I think. You check that every day,
is there something going on where you got to mention Portnoy's name at least four or five times in the first 10 minutes of our show?
Yes, because we're about to get sports, and I want to know if he's going away. Because don't we want more advice on baseball and betting on someone than we do on whether he likes the four letters that come out of a bag? Hello?
And if you think, if he goes away, do a lot of the Robin Hood traders go away as well, towards betting on sports?
Yes, absolutely. Carl, I got to tell you, it's the twilight of the Robin Hood idols when sport opens.
Would be remarkable, Jim.
Yeah,
if he's a true Pied Piper.
Yes, he is.
To
and
that
the
big
president
a contingent
gives us more money,
of retail investors.
I know. A stimulus check of $1,200, it goes right to buying Plug Power.
We're gonna find out, Jim. And speaking of Robin Hood names, we do get Tesla tonight. We'll talk about Musk's new big payout, whether or not they're going to enter the S&P 500, if they turn in a profit, some of the crazy tweets that Musk had overnight, plus a lot more. Futures are mixed. We're back in a minute. Getting some breaking news out of the wires on Slack, filing an EU antitrust complaint against Microsoft, Jim, alleging that the tying of Teams software to the Office suite violates EU law. Of course, this comes from a company that has long maintained that Microsoft and Slack are in different businesses to some degree.
Right. Well, look, this stuff is like the old days. This is like 1999 when you heard that Microsoft was tying its browser. And I think it's interesting that they're doing it in Europe, not in the United States. I've long felt that Slack has said, look, we've got the superior product, and if it weren't for the fact that Microsoft ties this product, everyone would use ours. I don't know. I mean, my take is, and David, you can disagree with me, but Slack doesn't need the government's help. if it's the better product, then people will use it. And I don't care if it's tied or not tied. It's not like the old days. People know how to immediately break any sort of tying. It's not like in 1999 when we were all buffoons or neophytes.
Yeah. Well, right. Netscape and Explorer. And yeah, I don't know, Jim. Slack is what, an $18 billion market cap company? Teams has become very very significant force in that area of office collaboration, particularly, of course, given the remote nature of work now being so ubiquitous.
Yes. I know that for the most part, I've switched to Teams. Why? Because everybody's got Teams. You know, did Slack may have a superior product. When I was at the Street, before the Street .com was sold, we used Slack. But I do think that Teams is everywhere now. I find that I'm pushed toward Teams. I'm pushed toward WebEx a lot instead of Zoom. I mean, it's corporate, okay? It feels very enterprise now, Teams. And Microsoft has got its fingers in so many pie. That's why a lot of people think this number is going to be so great tonight. And the stock was up $2 earlier.
Yeah, I think it was Ray J last week. They went to 225, and they called the trio of Azure, Office, and Gaming, Jim, a three-headed hydra. So the expectations going into tonight are elevated, you could argue.
We'll talk
more about Microsoft, obviously, and Tesla, which reports tonight. I think after we take a short break here, we'll be back in just a moment. The trailing six-month market cap of Tesla has now exceeded $150 billion. Jim, that means that Elon Musk gets 1.7 million options at $350, which means if he were able to exercise and sell them all today, $2.1 billion, the second big chunk of that pay award.
Just incredible. And Bank of America is questioning whether the move in the stock has been supported by the fundamentals, calling the stock overheated, driven by momentum. Obviously not a fan. Oh, by the way, I should mention that Bill Ackman bought a Tesla. And I do think that when you look at what Tesla's doing, it's got the most momentum into a quarter that I have ever seen. And usually when it has that kind of momentum, even if it goes down, the buyers come right back. They can't get enough of this thing. And so I kind of think that it could get hit and then people just go buy it again because it has become a stock that it's a must-own stock. And David, we've seen this before where there are so many things that he can say. People are talking about being able to build 10 factories. 10 factories to meet demand. I mean, how many factories do Ford and GM have to shut to meet demand?
It's extraordinary. There is no lack of imagination from any of the investors who are weighing into this stock in terms of what this company is going to be able to accomplish, Jim. We should point out as well, it does look more and more likely it may get added to the S&P 500,
yes,
which I would also add potential buying, of course, as index funds need to add it.
Would you offer stock if you were him to make it so that you had all the money in the world, or does it even matter? Could he do a convertible bond at 1.5% coupon by some firm that wants some money?
He can do whatever he wants, in terms of capital raising at this point, don't you think?
This man can do whatever he wants. We hear from Carl that he's just made $1.5 billion. Okay, I mean, at a certain point, are you jealous of him, or are you just so confident in yourself that you don't feel that way? Tell me.
I don't really. I'm not. Yeah, I'm not. I'm just not. I don't know why. I'm not. That's not how I roll.
Really?
I wish I had more time. I wish time wasn't going so fast. That I'd like. I'd like to roll it back a little bit.
Existential rap. I'm just saying, he's got more than I have. That's what I want to hear.
Nah, I don't roll that way.
Oh,
I feel so lucky. Oh. So lucky.
I didn't ask you, Carl, because you're a diplomat.
To have you guys.
Well, I don't. Yeah, you know what? I got the edge on him, too, because he called me a hologram.
Yeah.
So I got the edge on him because I'm real.
He still only gets 24 hours a day, guys, just like us.
True. Puts pants on, I guess. Same way.
Yep.
I don't know.
He does.
All right, so we got the edge on him. The heck with him. I mean, don't forget, Ackman bought a Tesla.
The heck with him.
Ackman bought a Tesla.
He did. He's also he's got some notes for Elon. I'm sure Elon will review them very closely. Guys, did want to tell you that we were talking Microsoft earlier. This guy was once the CFO of Microsoft. Talking about time, a long time ago, Greg Maffei, of course, has been Liberty Media's president and CEO for quite some time as well. They own Sirius. They have a big stake in TripAdvisor, big stake in Charter. Of course, Sirius owns Pandora, the Atlanta Braves. So much to talk to him about later in the show. Let's get to a mad dash as we get to about 2.5 minutes before we start with an opening bell. Capital One, Jim.
Yes. I mean, there'll be a lot of people talking about various stocks that, and notes that there was Texas Instruments is obviously very important. Ollie's, believe it or not, very, very important. But David, Capital One, they talk about taking a very high provision, $2.7 billion. This is Richard Fairbank, who's been around forever and is fabulous at his job. Obviously, they know how to lend what's in your wallet, David. But the fact is, they're taking a big charge and saying the consumer is incredibly strong. The card business is particularly healthy. They're talking about how there's very few people actually took the forbearance. They offered forbearance. But they did say this. Let's be careful. We are seeing this great paradox of extraordinary credit performance in the middle of the worst economic metrics of our lifetime, says Fairbank. But then he mentions New York 90-day moratorium on rent about to end. You can obviously kick people out. He's talking about the vertical drop of the elevator, and he's saying you need stimulus. And stimulus is the key. Without stimulus, then I think you're going to run into some trouble. So we need masks and stimulus to get the vaccine. And Capital One made me everyone should read Capital One because the oddities of a recession where the consumer is making a lot more money and not spending much is interesting. But when we get rid of the unemployment benefits that are extra, the $600, I don't know what will happen. It's worth focusing on. Yeah. A great conference call to read.
Okay. And of course, it takes us back to Washington, D.C., Carl, where negotiations continue on what a potential bill will look like. Of course, the House already having passed a $3 trillion bill, but that is not where they're at in terms of negotiations right now. Although it does appear that payroll tax cut is not part of the conversation, or at least not part of many conversations that seem to be going on between Senate and Mnuchin and everybody else.
It's interesting, the interaction between some of the senators like Thune and reporters. They bring up the payroll tax and it sort of gets a chuckle. But the other chuckle that they're getting right now, Jim, is McConnell saying or being asked, do you expect a deal by the end of next week? And his answer yesterday with a laugh was no. So it's going to be another race to the wire for those who are dependent on that extra income.
Wow.
Here's the opening bell, guys.
That gap's no good.
Yeah. This morning at the NYSE celebrating an IPO, it is Bill Ackman's Pershing Square. How do you say it, David? Tontine Holdings.
Yeah.
Yes, the largest SPAC offering ever at the NASDAQ. Another IPO, and that's Jamf, provider of Apple Enterprise Management Software. We'll talk to the CEO later on Squawk Alley. I did notice, Jim, Katie Huberty had some thoughts on Apple going into that print. Favorable setup. June quarter product revenues likely to outperform and so forth.
Oh, boy. It's one of those pieces that where it reads so well. There's a line in it, though, that did bother me, which is that there's an idea that this is now the high quality, safe investment. You know, there was a day when you used to think that Apple was a dangerous stock to own. So, I mean, the idea that a company that could have just had this dramatic run is not set up for a possible fall, I think would surprise people. But again, it's the service revenue in 5G. So what it means is that if you get a fall, the buyers will come in. And that's what I think is going to happen. I just don't think that you're going to get like Tesla. I think that buyers come back. Hey, look, I think Netflix is going to come all the way back. They come back to these stocks, just not the same day that they kill them. They don't. I remember Tontine Partners. Wasn't that Jeff Gendell was Tontine Partners, David?
There was. That's right. There was a hedge fund. Yes.
Yeah,
that's
there's right. a case Gendell, of Tontine. Jeffrey Gendell of Tontine Associates. I'm sorry. It's different. Okay. Could be like, you know, Michigan State, University of Michigan, for all I know. Right. Two great titans, Tontine and Tontine.
Well, we're going to watch the Ackman SPAC in part because, you know, will it be the top in some way, given how enormous it is? Some of the names that he'd been talking about, whether it's Airbnb that might want to roll into it. Not all of Airbnb, of course, but it would be a percentage that they would own. Or he even apparently has been mentioning Bloomberg. It seems hard to imagine
Bloomberg
in any way, shape or form. Yeah. I mean, please. But it's big. It's really big. And, you know, by the way, on Burger King, he was just an investor there. That was Marty Franklin. That was, you know, that SPAC, Jim. The one that people have brought up more is the Target SPV. Remember that one? The special purpose vehicle on Target work out at the time.
David, you know, I think you're showing a sardonic side of yourself.
No, yeah, I have that.
I think you're sardonic.
Yeah, thank you. You mentioned Netflix. Talking of streaming, music streaming company you've been covering closely, and we both have, Jim, is Spotify. I'm sure you've seen this morning the company putting out this news about a new deal with Universal that is sort of been getting at what they've been trying to establish, this two-sided marketplace where, yeah, we pay you for the rights to stream your artists, but now you're going to be paying us because of all the data and marketing that we can provide you to increase sales. And so quite a response this morning, yet again, Jim, from that new agreement that Spotify signs with Universal Music Group.
Look, it is artificial intelligence, machine learning, and it's kind of a reversal. I mean, suddenly you got to pay us. But I just think that Spotify, there was someone the other day downgraded to a cell, missed it the whole way. And I said, they don't understand the transformation here. This Spotify is trying to be all things to all people and when it comes to hearing. Anything that you can hear, they're going to have. And they're very well run. It is a great company. Undervalued. Mispriced. I think.
Even now? Even at almost $300
it was undervalued, mispriced for a long time. Now it's starting to get the recognition it deserves. Carl, one of the things that's really, I think, incredible is we just got great news from Pfizer. And anyone who's scared of the illness, we got great news. And that has typically led to the NASDAQ and the COVID plays going down. And they're not happening. Caused me to wonder whether everyone was thinking ahead of time that Pfizer was going to get this, because this is a market that, once again, is going to, you know, Pfizer was up $2.50. Now it's only up $1.50. The usual suspects that do well in the time of COVID, the Shopify's are moving up nicely. Regeneron moving up. And so I'm wondering whether people are saying this time, because we've got some of these companies that do well in the time of COVID doing quite well today. Amazon only up 2. Well, I know, and it's early. It's early.
Yeah, it's hard to discount what the president said yesterday, Jim, about things getting worse before they get better.
Right.
United, of course, Scott Kirby on Squawk Box this morning did say he sees a quick return to 100% revenue after a vaccine, but who knows when that is, Jim. And in the meantime, they're trying to get the cash burn from $40 million down to $25 million a day. I did notice that Marriott said occupancy in China could get back to 60% next month, which is a pretty good number if you're in the hotel business, given what they've been through.
I guess so. I'm looking at these companies that are now starting to lap and do and actually do okay. I had Logitech home last night. Jeez, they're just crushing it in China. That's LOGI, which has been a total horse. Another stock that hit its all-time high today, up 54%. This is the plus 50% club that there are so many of now. What a strange year. Unbelievable. But yeah, Logitech says China's
and then we're
totally
seeing
back.
We're seeing a split in retail today, Jim, as UBS cuts Macy's to sell, goes to $3, cuts Kohl's to sell. Best Buy, though, saying that online's 3X quarter to date, one of the S&P gainers today.
And Best Buy said that ever since all their stores were open, the numbers are up really, really well, 15%. That's amazing. But this is a really strange day, Carl, because you have a Best Buy, which is a company, obviously, consumer discretion. At the same time, HCA Healthcare reports a terrific number. A lot of people thought they were going to have a shortfall because not enough elective surgery. Well, bingo. You've got companies that are about the consumer being strong. You've got healthcare being strong. And you've got a number of companies that are just kind of along for the ride. And against those, you have Snap. I mean, look at Thermo Fisher. Thermo Fisher, Secretary Azar was talking about how they're producing more machines. Why can't the states buy more of the machines? They are just pumping out machines, Thermo Fisher, and they're pumping out profits. Look at that stock. And that's Mark Casper, who's been.
By the way.
Yes?
Yeah. Go back 10 years. I mean, take a look at the long term, too, Jim, on that stock,
so
to your point. Mark Casper. I mean, that has been an incredible value creator. Thank you, guys.
Fisher Scientific.
That was a quick one. Look at that.
Well,
yeah, look at that.
Look at that, will you?
Yeah.
Better than your index fund, David. You remember, you're all supposed to be in index funds. Don't pay any attention to a man like Mark
That's
Casper,
true.
One of the smartest people
I
on
think
Earth.
Most people would take, 725% for 10 years. That's, you know, that's,
do you know
that's
that,
pretty good numbers.
Do you know that Mark Casper built a plant in Kansas for 6 weeks? He built it to provide testing kits for specimens for COVID. 6 weeks. So basically, he is what we thought the Defense Production Index would, Defense Production would do. TMO does not get enough credit. Why? Because Mark Casper is so non-promotional that it takes guys like me to be able to talk about the fact that he did $389 million when people are looking for $289 million, with organic growth up 11% and $1.3 billion of COVID orders. Look at that.
Amazing.
They were where you had to be.
They really were, and they do rework that deal to acquire QIAGEN as well.
Are they going to get
real
QIAGEN?
Quickly, it's not our takeover laws. It's a different system,
one,
but it does appear more likely.
Who's the guy blocking that? Who's blocking that deal?
It's not of great importance.
Really?
Not of great importance, that one. Yeah, that was not a real thing, I don't believe.
Really?
Think,
so
if I
just
recall.
Slap me.
Yeah.
Just slap me down.
Yeah. Don't. That didn't. No. That. It's much more about the shareholder vote, about what's going on in the jurisdiction of where QIAGEN is.
Okay.
Real quickly, back to Best Buy, Jim. Just because it is worth mentioning. You know, they had furloughed 51,000 hourly employees on April 19th. They say now that they have, as of June 15th. They had brought back about half of that 51,000 of those domestic employees, hourly employees, have returned. And we should also point out, guys, they're going to $15 an hour as their minimum, their floor wage. They increase pay. 4% increase in the hourly rate will replace short-term incentive compensation, but they also go to 15 for anyone who wasn't yet there, adding that name to many companies that have done that in retail.
Wedbush came out today, David. And said they took the price chart from 75 to 95. Well, it's at 95 right now, so that's a little value subtracted. But they're saying that there's a permanent shuttering of competitors that are really helping them. And I think that's happening in a lot of different industries, whether it be Chipotle going to report, and you see that there's a lot of places that serve that are going under. Restaurants can't make it. The report tonight, I think we'll hear about that. And Best Buy, a lot of the competitors just couldn't make it. So this is the beginning of the titans taking over, and a lot of the marginal players, including the mom and pops, just getting boxed out entirely, especially like the local pizza parlors. They can't compete with Domino's. This is an amazing time. There's just a division in the world. It's the big guys won. Small, medium size need stimulus. If they don't get it, they're gone.
That's the dynamic we were talking about. Really, from the get-go of COVID, Jim, we knew this was going to happen, and it has. Really quick, finally on Snap, 9 cents loss was in line, revenue ahead, DAUs up 17 was a bit disappointing, although ARPU was ahead. Guggenheim goes to neutral, and we'll see what Twitter says in the morning.
They needed theatrical releases. They needed a return of sports. You got to have something to talk about. Something special for that would get to the advertisers. That's the advertisers wanted them for movie releases and sports. And there's obviously not around. The market's still not doing that badly.
But speaking of sports, we do get opening night tomorrow night, opening day on Friday for baseball. Yeah, it's only a 60 game season, but a lot of us will take it. Coming after this break, we're going to speak to man who runs the company that owns the Atlanta Braves, Greg Maffei. Welcome back. No shortage of things to talk with our next guest about, of course, Liberty Media, owner of the Atlanta Braves. We're mentioning baseball season starting very soon as well. That Spotify deal this morning. What about Pandora? That's owned by Sirius, which 72% is owned by Liberty Media. So let's bring in Greg Maffei now, as he's been teased, of course, president and CEO of Liberty. Nice to see you this morning, Greg. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, David. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. And exciting, of course, with the Atlanta Braves. Want to get to baseball, but let's start off, if we can, on streaming of music, Pandora, Sirius. You know, we talk so much here about Spotify. We've watched that stock grow enormously, or I should say the company's market cap grow enormously lately. Why are we talking more about Pandora? Why are we hearing more about Pandora? Why isn't that perhaps part of this conversation, Greg?
I can't answer that part of it. I've watched the rise of Spotify on their podcast deals, and pretty much any announcement they make seems to drive the stock up. I'm not sure I understand it, but more power to them.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned podcasting because Jim Meyer, the CEO of Sirius, I think at a conference about a month ago, sort of referred to some of those deals that they're doing as, in at least his opinion, not rational. Do you agree?
Well, look, I think podcasting is going to be an important part of listening. And we're big believers that the ear is going to grow in market share, that people are going to spend more time listening to things. There's lots of opportunities between smart speakers and between AirPods and new kinds of content like podcasting. So I think we're bullish on podcasting. But our belief is we're definitely in the early days, that there's so much more content that's going to come onto podcasting, and that at some point it might, you know, today it's low single digit shares. At some point it might be 10-20% of the market, but it's unlikely to overtake all listening and music and other kinds of content. So it's an important part, but I think the market has probably outpaced, the stock market has outpaced the actual market to date.
Yeah, and I want to talk to you about the broader market as well and your view of it. But on this topic again, Spotify this morning announces this new deal with Universal Music Group. You know, they have an enormous amount of data that they say can be used by Universal to help promote their artists, increase sales. Certainly Pandora and Sirius are in possession of a great deal of data. Are those potential deals ones that Pandora could pursue as well with the big music companies?
Well, I don't know the specifics of the deal that Spotify cut. I just heard about it this morning. I do know that we have a strong relationship with the record companies and have been doing much to share data and improve the experience that they offer their customers. So I think all sorts of things are possible between both Sirius and Pandora and the record labels.
Are you frustrated at all in terms of the performance of Pandora and or the lack of attention it gets within the Sirius portfolio?
Look, I think the streaming music business is a hard business. I'm more bemused by the generosity that the market has shown to Spotify, but we'll see.
Okay, let's talk baseball. I was told you may be wearing an Atlanta Braves shirt there. I don't know. I can't see the logo or anything like that.
I did it for you. You're the Mets fan.
Yes, I am, as you well know. 60 games. I mean, how do you view this season as an owner, Greg? Is it just a write-off?
No. I think, first of all, it's the most important thing is that we build a safe environment to give the fans what they want, which is baseball. And I think it's important that they get baseball in the best way possible. And I think the MLB and the Players Association have come forward with a series of protocols to make that happen. And we're excited for the season. 60 games is somewhat of a sprint, but I think the Braves are prepared.
And what are your expectations, though, in terms of revenue? Obviously, the park is not going to have people in it. And the quality of the games. You've had a number of players. You've got one, Markakis, who's not playing. But, a few who've come down with COVID, Freddie Freeman.
Felix Hernandez. But, you know, look, I think.
Okay, right. And Markakis as well. Yeah.
Right. Freddie is healthy. We fully expect Freddie's going to be in the lineup on Friday for our opening game. We have had a couple of players test positive, but they seem to be recovering well. I think baseball has done a good job of building a series of protocols to make sure as much as possible that we are safe. And I suspect the players are far safer in the environment that MLB has created than they would be in their home environments, unregulated and untested in the same way. Baseball, as I said, is important. Baseball is exciting. And, I think it's in the national interest and in the interest of America to get it going.
Yeah. No, listen, there are many of us who are excited for it. At the same time, it's such a strange time and a season. Do you think it will generate the same amount of enthusiasm come the playoffs that it typically does?
Well, I certainly hope so. And I think there's lots of reasons to think so. You know, I look at other sports and demand is way up. You know, as you know, we also own Formula One, and the ratings are incredibly high. The ratings for golf have been high. So clearly there's a lot of demand for sports. You rightly noted we're going to start out without fans. We're going to build a safe protocol. But we haven't given up on the idea that somewhere down the road fans are able to join. And I think the potential to have sports be a unifying thing, the potential for, obviously there's demand for people who are at home to watch it, gives us a lot of incentive and a lot of hope for the future of baseball this year.
Yeah. Greg, I'd love to just sort of end here on the markets, because you mentioned Spotify. You sort of seem to indicate you're somewhat bemused by how much that stock has moved up on the various podcasting
Obviously,
deals they've signed up.
Robinhood people. We've got to work on that somehow. I don't know.
You got to work on that. But, you know, I wonder. I remember when you were CFO of Microsoft in the mid-90s. I remember when you went to 360. I think it was January of 2000. The telecom company that you ran.
Not necessarily fortuitous timing.
Your timing was not great, although nobody's complaining. I've looked through what you own in your stock portfolio. You're doing just fine, Greg. But as an asset allocator right now, somebody who obviously makes decisions all the time in terms of the value of things, particularly at Liberty, a company that does lots of transactions, what is your view overall of what's going on in the market right now in terms of where assets are and in terms of where some of these key stocks that we talk about so often are having moved up so dramatically?
Yeah. Well, David, you guys have been quite articulate about how the FANGs and the NASDAQ have been dominated by tech, and that their share of the market has grown enormously. In contrast, you know, things like energy have collapsed over the last 10 years and even more this year. That seems unsustainable. You know, these things run out of steam. The overall market, as you guys have rightly noted, is not the stock market, but a market of stocks. And I think the average stock is down something more like 10%, and smaller stocks are down something like 20%. I think that the underlying economy, there are a lot of issues. You know, we're seeing about how what will get extended on this PPP and the CARES Act, how much true unemployment or underemployment there is in the market. I think lots of issues in the economy, and I think many of the near-term challenges have been discounted, certainly by the overall market of stocks.
Yeah. And finally, Greg, I mean, given you do have a broader perspective on the economy because of all the ownership stakes you have, not to mention the businesses you run directly, you don't seem particularly positive on what you see coming.
Look, I think there are winners and losers, and we have a portfolio, some of which are currently challenged, things like travel. You mentioned TripAdvisor and things like concerts, Live Nation. I'm bullish on both those businesses for long term, but they have some near term challenges. On the other hand, we have companies in our portfolio like a Charter or a GCI, which is the Alaskan cable company, or Sirius, or even QVC, which have really benefited from stay at home, demand for bandwidth, demand for home products, ability to shift the nature of what they're selling. In the case of QVC, more towards gardening and home and safety. Zulily, one of our companies, has sold over 1 million masks. So look, the economy is adjusting, and we have a portfolio that's adjusting with it. And we try to build in liquidity and security on the companies that are more challenged, and we try to take advantage of the ones that are able to adjust to the stay-at-home environment.
Greg, always appreciate your taking some time with us, and always appreciate your insights. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Good luck to all of you.
Greg Maffei, CEO and President of Liberty Media. We're right back on Squawk on the Street.
Coming up tonight on MAD, it is Speaker Pelosi with Jim talking about the ongoing negotiations with Senate Republicans. And we'll see how the timeline works out on an extension of COVID benefits. We're back in just a minute. It's time for Jim and Stop Trading.
People didn't talk much about Texas Instruments today. That was going to be the bellwether, and people were disappointed with it. Now, why? Because they have a lot of automotive, and that was down severely. But their personal computer, everything from the office stay-at-home, was fabulous. So don't take away that semis are bad. Just take away that they have more auto than others, and it was not a bad quarter, and I am surprised the stock's down as much as it is.
All right, Jim, a couple seconds left. Key questions for Pelosi tonight?
look, we got to find out whether there can be a meeting of the minds, because when you go to a Capital One, which knows more about credit than anybody, if we don't get stimulus, we don't have the bridge that we need to the vaccine. We need a bridge to the vaccine.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.